This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Blanc.
And I'm Michelle Norris. A political suspense thriller is unfolding in Kenya. No less than 9 candidates are running for president. But from nearly every angle, it's actually a 2-man race. And at one time, the incumbent and his main challenger were allied in the effort to overthrow a 24-year autocracy in Kenya. But what a difference a democracy makes. Here's NPR's Gwen Tompkins.
If you don't know the rules, then you can't play. So listen closely. There are 8 voting provinces in Kenya, and a candidate must win a quarter of the vote in 5 of them to become president. A quarter of the vote. Sounds like a pretty low bar, right? That's the kind of law that can keep a bully in power. Look at former Kenyan President Daniel Arap Moi. He would take the oath of office after winning less than 40% of the vote nationwide. That went on for years.
President Moi, in 1992 election, scored about 37%, I believe.
That's Manny Lamayan, the spokesman for the Electoral Commission of Kenya.
1997, he also had a smaller percentage, less than 37%. The opposition, although they were fragmented, had bigger scores combined, but they didn't have the provinces.
It took a constitutional amendment to bring about term limits and the end of the Moi franchise. In 2002, all of Moi's political rivals got together, formed their own party, and defeated his hand-chosen successor. Moi's rivals had each worked for him at one time or another, and each wanted to be his successor. But Raila Odinga, the son of a former vice president, made the call. He chose Mwai Kibaki as the opposition's presidential candidate, saying, "Kibaki is enough." It was the political thriller of the century. All the King's Men meets Mr. Smith goes to, well, Nairobi.
People are free to say whatever they want. People are free to do anything they want. Actually, the freedom in Kenya for somebody who's traveled around Africa is amazing. That's something which suddenly hit us like a bolt of thunder.
That's Gitau Warigi, a political columnist for Kenya's largest newspaper.
Especially under Moi Day, you had to look behind your shoulder, who is listening? Is Secret Service or whatever. Now people don't give a damn. That was one area which the new system has to be credited. And particularly Kibaki. His tolerance is actually quite something to people who knew the earlier system.
Under Kibaki's pro-capitalist leadership, East Africa's biggest economy got even bigger. The Kibaki administration also eliminated school fees for elementary students, lifting a terrific burden from the nation's poor.
To those who refuse to recognize our achievements and continually focus on our weaknesses as a nation at home and abroad, I say to them today, you cannot move forward by continuously looking behind you.
That's President Kibaki speaking on Kenya's Independence Day. But Kibaki's promises to get a handle on corruption have gone nowhere. The nation's top corruption investigator was hounded out of the country by death threats. And the politically connected masterminds behind Kenya's most egregious corruption scandals are still at large. But Warigi says that even that wasn't the administration's biggest mistake.
And that's why Moi is laughing all the way now to himself. They bungled their politics totally.
Whatever the understanding was between the new president and his fellow opposition party leaders, Kibaki apparently did not make good on his end of the deal. Raila Odinga had expected to take a leading role in the new government, but that did not materialize. And Odinga, a rabble-rouser with a long and colorful history of political fallouts, broke with Kibaki.
It is the Kibaki government which stands truly charged in the dock today. It came to power on an anti-corruption platform. It has not only failed to implement this, but has presided over further massive theft of public funds.
That's Raila Odinga speaking at a recent press conference. The polls show him as the front runner, but there is little belief here that corruption or any other issue matters to voters.
People are ethnically aligned.
That's pollster Alan Abongo. Word on the street is that ethnicity will decide this vote.
There's overwhelming support from where each particular candidate comes from.
Kibaki hails from Kenya's largest ethnic group, called the Kikuyu. They're based in central Kenya. The Mau Mau Rebellion, which helped bring independence from Britain, was a Kikuyu uprising, and Jomo Kenyatta, the first president of independent Kenya, was Kikuyu. Odinga represents the Luo, the nation's second largest ethnic group. The Luo are rooted in western Kenya, and no Luo has ever been president of the country, even though Odinga's father was at one time vice president. Many of them feel it's their turn. But rules are rules, and neither the Kikuyu nor the Luo can single-handedly win 5 out of Kenya's 8 voting provinces. Each needs support from the nation's 40 other ethnic groups. And that's what's got the Electoral Commission worried.
I'm not so sure that our voter education program is successful.
Again, Manny Lamayan.
Because year in, year out, after every 5 years, we're having violence. We are having voter buying, voter selling. We are also having tribal, regional feelings when it comes to the elections. These are real challenges.
Ethnic clashes have killed nearly 20 people nationwide in recent weeks and displaced hundreds. Polling stations have been burned to the ground. And even State House, the Kenyan equivalent of the White House, has been the scene of, well, a scene. Lucy Kibaki, the president's notoriously grouchy wife, recently slapped a member of the administration at a state event. He had mistakenly called her by the name of the president's mistress. Gitawa Rigi says the race, like the presidency, is a test of character, and he likens Kibaki to none other than George Herbert Walker Bush.
Kibaki is this gentleman, nice, calm. He has no connection really with the masses. Raila is totally different. He's a populist. Goes to football matches. It's a mass game. Kibaki plays golf. At the exclusive Muthaiga Club.
Election day is December 27th, and it will likely be a last political stand for both the 76-year-old Kibaki and Odinga, who at 62 is a fast-aging rebel. The race will probably come down to which of the two contenders is hungrier. In Africa, incumbents are especially hard to beat. But Odinga says he has already smelt power, and he's reaching for a place at the table. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Nairobi.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.